Two Whales and Hockey Tales with Wally. For the fans to the players living their hockey dream. Two Whales and Hockey Tales with Wally. Kim Carden, Cinder Yuski, and everywhere in between.
Welcome back to part two of Two Hails and Hockey Tales with Wally. And if you want to hear the intro, you got to listen to part one, right? We're back. Welcome back to the shed.
Hey, thanks. I mean, you got to get better Zambonis for that intermission in the shed here, I think, you know?
It was a few hours, eh? You know, things pop up and sometimes you can't be in the shed. You got to go take care of stuff and got all that done. And now we're back, right?
Hey, there you go. No worries at all.
What do you think we were talking about when it ended? I remember us talking about the NFL and how great of a business model they have there. But this whole YouTube and how you got into traveling the world, documenting hockey, did it not start by going to Dresden, Germany? And that's one of your poster picks?
Yeah, so essentially I was really lucky enough that Pat Grametra, it's unfortunate, actually, they just lost in game three to UQTR 1-0. So they're now no longer in the hunt for the OUA or national championship. But yeah, Pat was more than grateful, gave me the opportunity to basically go and document their trip to Germany. And so he actually played over there during the tail end of his playing career, loved it, wanted to give the same experience to the guys. So essentially he had 17 graduating players that he all took with, you know, the full current team. And we played three preseason games throughout. Basically, I think there was one German two team and then the other two were German three teams, if I'm not mistaken. And
this was a
great
Canadian university?
Yeah. So
how would they have done against a second league team in Germany?
Honestly, like, we competed every single game. It was nothing was a blowout. We won one and we lost the other two.
Yeah, because I played in the second league in Germany. And yeah, I mean, I know there are some great Canadian university teams out east, right? Like University of New Brunswick, where all my fellows went to. There's a lot of great teams in Canadian universities, isn't there? Ontario, not so much. We kind of suck.
Hey, hold on now. Listen now. GG's, we're in good shapes. You know, things are looking well. But I will say, in terms of UMB, I mean, it's MVP there for them this season, Austin Keating. I got to spend some time with him when he was with the Ottawa 67s. Just like an unreal dude. And to see him having success for that program and kind of continuing their legacy is awesome. And like they keep one-upping themselves too with like the perfect season. I mean, two perfect seasons, honestly, is pretty incredible to see, because the Concordia women's hockey had their perfect season. And then University of New Brunswick also finished it up with a perfect year. And I put
perfect
this out on
year. You mean they didn't lose a game?
Yeah, literally. For the U Sports on the women's side, Concordia, they went 35-0, whatever it is. And then on the men's side, UMB, they in the regular season, they did the same thing. They went 35-0. And I put it out on the other day, the head coach there of UMB. I honestly said, if he's not in the Hockey Hall of Fame one of these days, like, something is wrong. He's got six or seven national titles. He filled in there for the Memorial Cup winning St. John's Sea Dogs as well too. So he was the head coach for them. So he's got a Memorial Cup, like seven national championships. If he doesn't, if the UMB head coach does not hear his name being called at some point, it's an absolute travesty because, I mean, what he's done and continued to do for, I mean, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but I think it's been like in that 20 to 30 year mark. And, but yeah, like,
well, he obviously knows how to recruit good people. Like, he had Chris Culligan, he had Critch, who I sponsor now. And now you talk about that guy, it sounds like a bunch of shed guys that he knows how to recruit, right?
Yeah, no. So, I mean, like, they just, yeah, Gardner McDougal, I mean, they do it so good over in UMB. Like, you know, I mean, you go there for 4 years, you're guaranteed to walk away with a national championship pretty much, right? Which is,
those are, you fun know, to win.
Not an easy feat.
Yeah, and I actually, for the first time since back when I was a player, I am growing a playoff beard again. My under 13 fellows asked me to grow a playoff beard, so I am growing a playoff beard, and I am right back in the game, and I can't wait. We're right in the heat of the playoffs right now. I got to tell you about our last game because it was wild. My fellows are having a season. We're doing well, but it's a 8-team round robin, top two, then play a best of three. And we're playing the other team that hasn't lost a game. And they're a good team. And they were beating us 3-0. And there's like 6 minutes left. And we weren't getting much going. And I just happened to like say something that I was just being honest, that it was offside. And the linesman didn't appreciate me letting him know that he wasn't doing a very good job. And I just said, well, it's still offside. Like, it's actually still offside. And then the ref comes flying over and boots me from the game with 6 minutes left. And then I have to go into the lobby and watch from there. And my fellas went out there, scored 3 goals to tie it up, and then the OT winner. It was nuts, man. And then they all came flying off after they celebrated, and we all had a huge group hug in the hallway. It was wild. It was so fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's why you do it at the end of the day, right? Especially with volunteer positions like that, right? It's to kind of have those memories and whatnot.
It was a memory, man. Just to see the look in their faces when, like, that they just kept working and actually came back. Like, the look of, like, we can do this. And, like, they were so happy. And so was I. It was a neat day for me. fun stuff. But that Dresden barn you went to, that is a nice barn over in Germany, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really great. The fans there are incredible. We actually stayed in Dresden and drove to the other towns in Germany. So we spent most of our time there in that city. I love it. It's great. And overall, too, I mean, Germany is just really a lot of fun. And actually, probably one of the coolest things in my career so far, you know, as a Canadian, you kind of grow up watching the World Junior Tournament and everything like that. And yeah, obviously, my Germany content has done really well. And so I get into Gothenburg in Sweden and, you know, I fall asleep, jet lag, wake up at around like, say, 11 p.m. Only thing open is like a McDonald's. And so I just go out to get a snack. And then I end up bumping into a group from, you know, they're all wearing Germany gear. I don't really clock it too much because I'm just like, like whatever. Like, you know, a lot of fans travel for this tournament kind of thing. But anyways, one of the guys just came up to me and he had his phone out and he's like, hey, is this you? And showed me the Instagram profile of me. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And they're like, oh, like we, you know, we love the content and stuff like that. So it was the German World Junior team, right? So they just kind of came over and said that they love what I was doing. And yeah, it was really cool. I mean,
that would mean a lot, right?
Well, like I said, right, you kind of grow up watching that tournament, and now at some point and in some facet, the players who are playing in that now are watching my stuff from that interaction, just knowing that. Yeah, it was really cool. And it was fun to kind of watch them. I mean, they started off strong with a big win over Finland, tapered off a little bit, but, you know, was able to get a big win over Norway, I think, to stay in the tournament for next year in Ottawa. And yeah, I mean, I got to chat with those guys for about 20 minutes and a great group and Really,
well, you know, they're coached by a Shed guy. Small world. Toby Abstrider was their coach, and his line mate, or sorry, his brother was my line mate in Landshut, Germany. Peter Abstrider, one of my favorite line mates ever, and those guys know how to hockey. Abstriders know how to hockey.
It's just so interesting to me to see the development in terms of hockey in those countries, because you think of also like NHL draft prospects in North America, they're always either coming from like the, you know, junior system with like your OHL, QMJHL, WHL, or, you know, NCAA, you know, BCHL kind of thing, right? So over there, though, it's just like, it's fascinating to see that, like, oh, like, yeah, the world junior team, like, this guy's actually playing in the Dell already, like, this guy is in the USHL, or like, this guy's actually, you know, playing, like, you get a little bit more of a mix, and it just kind of seems like there's more options for your development. I know, obviously, like, you know, Canada, US,
I know a bit about it, right? Because I was there for 6 years, and it is a very different model. I don't know who's right, because I think junior age kids can benefit from playing with junior age kids and be the man and be better than most, where those guys get thrown into pro and they're playing with professionals and they're still just a kid and they won't get the ice time, but they practice with the men. And I don't know. I think playing with junior aged kids when you're junior aged is more appropriate, unless you're some kind of superstar, you know?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, I saw, this was Germany 4, and I saw two guys just like go straight to the end of the bench at the start of every period. And sure enough, they were the young guys. Oh, and yeah, they got dressed and literally not a second of ice time.
No.
And apparently that is like that, from what I was told, that is kind of like your norm of essentially you pay your dues and you're playing Germany. You're playing in that Germany 4 league. You get dressed. You could bust 2 hours for a road game, get
and
dressed, and it's a guarantee that like you're not playing. Like it's not like, oh, yeah, you might get 2 minutes. Like it's like 0000000. That is your ice time. Which but, like
and what's interesting is I went through that in the AHL. There were games where we had one less than four lines, so they just never put the fourth line out. They just roll three, and I'd sit there the entire game. And it's hard to be a hockey player when you never get to go out and play hockey.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I understand, you know, obviously like maybe at the AHL level, it being a little bit different, but like if that's your model for like development too, right?
I agree.
Like,
that's what I don't agree with what they do. Cause we had kids that wouldn't play and they would sit in the middle of the bench and like, you know, they have the sponsors Velcroed on your pants. Those fellas knew they wouldn't be playing, so they'd have their snooze, the chewing stuff, in the Velcro. So they, once they realized they were done for the night, they weren't going to get another shift, they'd just un-Velcro it and pull out their chew.
We'll say that what I saw in the Dell League, though, is that they did get a little bit more ice time, for sure. But
well, there's still the players that can play, right? And if they show at any age that they're ready, they'll play.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was interesting to see that, in Germany 4, that they just like, and they just know it. Like, they're just like, they just eat it and they get dressed for warmups, basically.
Okay. Poster picks. You were met Jay Onright and Dan O'Toole. Those guys are legends, eh?
Yeah, those two are great. I mean, funny enough, I've gotten to meet those guys a couple of times. My hometown won the Kraft Hockeyville, and then they came back for the 2014 Newfoundland Winter Games to do the closing ceremony show for the community. And while they were up, they were doing some media, and that's where I got to meet them, because I was kind of behind the scenes producing a show that they had come on and done the interview with. And Jay and Dan, I mean, they're incredible individuals, and they just kind of gave me all the time in the world. And they actually came back to the rink to watch the semifinals of the Newfoundland Winter Games ice hockey medal finals rounds, or whatever you want to call it. And they invited me to sit with them. And I mean, I just basically got Jay and Dan's ear for 2 hours when I was in high school about like what I should do and everything like that. And Jay was, you know, Jay had more of a educational career path that enticed me a little bit more. He's a Toronto Metropolitan University alumni. And so that quickly kind of became my dream school and was like, okay, this is where I want to go to do this. I want to do the sports media program. I got waitlisted coming out of high school because, you know, I didn't really care about my grades. I just cared about doing what I wanted to do kind of thing. So I didn't have bad grades, but I didn't have grades good enough to get me into that program. So I got waitlisted, did a year at the College of the North Atlantic because I really want to get into this program at TMU. Like, it's, you know, this is what Jay did. You know, Jay's at the pinnacle. This is where I want to be at. And, you know, did the year at the College of North Atlantic. It was great. Honestly, comprehensive arts and science diploma thing, whatever it's called that I have. It was great. A lot of people kind of utilize it to enhance their education. So maybe some people who did like in Newfoundland, like a basic level of high school. So they want to go from basic to academic. I was kind of trying to utilize it a little bit more to just like really have like a wow of a transcript. So it's still like the best academical year I've ever had. And that still didn't get me into Toronto Metropolitan. They still said no, but the University of Ottawa did offer me 3 credits and they're like, yeah, doors open, like come on in for the program there. And then, yeah, it just kind of, you know, I went there, 4 years there. It was incredible. And then finally, when I was finishing up my undergrad, pandemic happened. So I was like, okay, you know what? Might as well find something to do. So that's when I decided to like start looking around for master's programs. And then finally, TMU said yes when I applied for my master's program. So they finally let me in on the third try. And I think what's the coolest thing ever too is that when I went up to Toronto for my graduation, for my convocation, I went like 40 minutes into like some random suburb on a Sunday to meet up with a buddy of mine who I hadn't met in forever. And we sat and probably caught up over breakfast for like 2 hours. And then I leave, I shake hands with him and I'm walking for like 15 minutes. I look across the street and like some people might not realize this, but like Jay is tall. So he like sticks out like big time, right? Like you can, and sure enough, I'm walking down the street and he's just there. And
really, right after all those years, and then you'd finally got into the school.
Well, I ran across the street and I was just like, yo, like, dude, you know, you probably don't remember this, but like this conversation, like here's the whole process. Like I'm literally up for my comic, like I'm walking across the stage tomorrow. Like, dude, like, thanks so much for everything. And, you know, he was super, again, just unreal. Like I said, I really can't say enough about, you know, Dan as well too, but like Jay as well. And that interaction was just, was so good. And you never really know too, like what pieces of advice people kind of take and what are the ramifications of the words that you're saying with, right? I mean, for Jay, that was probably nothing, but maybe a little bit of an annoyance to kind of listen to me and answer my questions for a couple of hours while he was in Newfoundland. But I mean, the trajectory or where that all projected to. And I mean, you think if I never knew about TMU, like I don't really know about other options, like I, small town Newfoundland, right? Like they're like, I wanted to do journalism and Carleton's one of the best, as much as it hurts me to say that against our U Ottawa rival, Carleton is one of the best journalism schools in the whole country. And like, I didn't know about that, right? Like you have those conversations with like some of the guidance counselors there and, you know,
and if they're not into it, they don't know, right?
No, and not that there's anything wrong with it, but like a lot of like the people that I graduated with, like it's either, you know, trade school, Memorial University of Newfoundland, or like other options, right? Like it's kind of those set ones. So it's like, you know, when you kind of come in with this different level of interest and you want to do this, it's not really something that, you know, they're equipped to really.
Not many people have made the trail.
Yeah, so, you know,
it's the same in the hockey world, right? It's like when you see guys from your hometown go places and people get to know people in the hockey world, it creates a trail for guys to go places.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, I'm just so grateful for, you know, for the time that those guys spent with me answering questions and stuff like that, because, you know, it's all a domino effect too, right? And like, yeah, I still had to get myself here, but I do think like, everybody loves selling an underdog story nowadays. And I think because of that, we've started to neglect essentially how much of a village it actually does take to get you to where you are. And we like to discredit maybe some of the people and interactions that we've had. But I mean, those moments really do shape you for who you're going to be in the future, right? And
it takes everyone to win, and you got to learn from everybody you're around, I find.
Exactly. So who's to say if Jay didn't have that conversation with me in high school, that like any of this happens, right? Like
Well, you obviously learned some stuff while doing your master's there, because I see your YouTube videos and I'm like, man, like they're so professionally done, and it's just you doing it, right?
Yeah. To be fair, I have taken on some help over the years. So like we're slow. Like I said, so there, even before too, we were talking about me, you know, taking a 9-to-5 role to even just be able to put more of my like salary into this and everything like that. So it's like, you know, not having like just having different revenue streams so that, you know, we can, again, keep piling and keep investing into just making better videos. And so with the videos now too, like we do, like I don't do any of the thumbnail designs. Like I do just kind of freelance that with a bunch of different people. And then for the editing, there's a super, super talented guy, Braden, back in Newfoundland. And he's been kind of helping me with like that workload and stuff like that. So like, for example, he did the Scotland one. I did the England one kind of thing. So he'll take care of the editing on some of the ones that I have and whatnot too. So I've got him on with like the freelance kind of base model kind of thing.
Sounds like you got a championship team, because and you can tell by what you're producing, but what hits home for me is like for what I can do. I have a poster maker guy, Lee Freeman, that makes the posters for every episode, and he's done it voluntarily for me for years now. I have a website maker guy that takes care of all that, puts up my raffles for me. He even sells the clothes at aleshockeytales.com, folks. Raffle's still up. but he does that. Then I got another guy that fronted the money to buy the jerseys that I've been raffling off. And it's like, man, it takes all of you guys to help me. And when I'm drinking beers on here, I get them from Grey Matter in Concord, Canada, and they give me free beer to talk to my friends in my shed, right? That's fun.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is too, and I was just kind of talking about the behind the scenes for the video, but I mean, the conversations that I'm having now with like scheduling and production and everything like that. I mean, for one, those videos, like you're not watching those if it's not for, you know, guys like CJ Garcia or like Lucas Chiodo, Adam Hollow, you know, helping me bridge the gap there. Right.
How to get you into with the guys, how to get you into the game. Right.
Exactly. Yeah, like there's so much that really, you know, goes into it. And that's the thing too, is like I said now, like I'm literally planning and negotiating and chatting and looking at itinerary details for stuff that like potentially could run in like 2025, right? So there definitely is like a lot that goes into this. So it's like, you know, surface level, it may, you know, look pretty simplistic, but I think the thing is with any craft, with anything that's not there, and this is kind of like, funny enough, I've been thinking about this a lot because I've been asked to speak at my old high school in a few weeks here. And so essentially just like career advice and everything like that, which is always kind of like, what do I know is the boat that I've always been in. But the one thing in terms of like doing all this, and if you want to do it, and it's, you know, creating content, playing hockey or anything like that, like fundamentally, like the biggest thing is like being a good communicator and then like showing up. Like those are the two things that it's like, if you can get those down pat, honestly, I'm convinced that there's nothing that like you cannot do. Because the one thing that I'm looking at now too is like with, like for me anyway, like if I'm looking at like different projects and stuff like that, the only thing that I really care about is like, you know, your baseline of quality, which is what you achieve by showing up continuously, like time after time, rep after rep. Your shot gets better if you take 100 shots as opposed to 10, 1,000 as opposed to 100, right? So it's that repetition. And then does it go out on time? Are we on a schedule? Like, you know, is all the ducks in a row kind of thing, right? And so again too, like when you're doing something, like people don't want to waste time, right? So it's like 9 o'clock is 8:45 kind of thing, right? Like when we say I've made the commitment now, you know, bi-weekly videos on Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern time. It's not 5:05. It's not 4:55. To be fair, sometimes I will put it out early, but it's 5 o'clock and we're making that commitment, Mark, right? So again, those are just two massive things that you really can't accomplish in my eyes, like whatever you can do, because some people might not look at anything that I've done as a success, right? But internally, like, I've been able to have the conversations. I see the messages kind of come through with the requests and everything like that. And at the end of the day right now, like, I'm happy with it,
and you should be, and you are a success, and what you're putting out there is awesome. And I would think, just thinking aloud my shit again, is like, I think the Manchester Storm should be very thankful that you and CJ set that up, because how many people are going to see the fun those guys are having after wins and getting chocolate? It's a good thing to have out there. And I would think there'll be teams reaching out to you saying, hey, please come do shoot something on us. Right.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, we've had those conversations now, which is great. I mean, that's actually how the Sweden video came about. Was Lulio did reach out and we worked together and really pulled together what I think is an amazing product. But yeah, I mean, that is a goal too, right? Like, you really do want some people who are watching the videos to either like live vicariously through what I'm showing them, right? So they're able to experience it from the comfort of their own home, because maybe they don't have the means to do what I do, right? So at least they can, they can get the experience, and they can see the chocolate bars being thrown on the ice from being in Canada, right? So like, that's one facet of it. But then also too, for the individuals that can, it's next time that they're looking at how they're going to spend a long weekend. It's like, okay, hey, geez, I could do this. Or you know what, geez, Air Canada's got a good deal on direct flights to London right now. Let's go out and let's see this. We're hockey fans. Let's go see what this Manchester Storm chocolate bar thing is. And
wouldn't that be something, if people started traveling around just like you to see all this fun stuff happening, right?
I have actually. I wish somehow I could track this measure, and who knows, maybe there is, or maybe I just kind of create like an email list or like a community group to kind of see it. But there are comments where it's like, oh, like, I'm heading to Europe soon. Like, I'm writing notes. Like, I'm getting ready to go. Like, I have gotten those where people are like, oh, like, Luleå in Sweden is now on my list to travel to. Like, hopefully I'll be there in the next couple of months. There's no way for me to confirm whether or not this happens.
Right.
But I got to, internally think of some ways to do that, because I've seen the comments come in with that context. So, really would like to see those numbers.
I mean what you're doing is really neat. So of all the places you've gone and all the different leagues you've seen, if you were playing pro hockey in Europe, where would you want to play?
To be fair, I did say this in an interview the other day. I am actively trying to get an organization to give me a contract and make me a pro hockey player Well, I'm turning 27 in October. I played till high school. I was a half decent goalie. I don't need much. The context for all this was somebody chirped me about my weight, which is like, listen, I've been heavier. I've dropped like 70 pounds. I've gained some of it. I'm down like 30 currently from where I've currently been at. Like, I've also heard it my whole life. And it was just funny because I'm in the boat too, that of like, I'll never swing first, but like, hey, if you swing, like, I'm full on like ready to defend myself kind of thing.
Me
right?
too. Yeah.
And so anyways, the individual who did this, they, like, they were a hockey, like the person who commented this, they were a hockey player. And so I was like, let me take a look at like their elite prospects. Right. So his comment was along the lines of like, you should like, of course this guy's worried about the food. Right. And I just went
being mean to be mean, eh?
I mean, I don't mind it. Like, at the end of the day too, like, I'm not saying like I'm asking for it, but there is like that level of like, I am warranting by like doing this, like, I am opening myself up to the criticism as well too. So it's whatever. But like I said, like, I also like having fun with it too. So it's like, okay, if you're going to poke fun at me, like, let me take a look. And so anyways, I found his lead prospects. It wasn't anything impressive. And listen, I'm also not one to criticize guys for their stat line, because I also, I've seen, like, I've been around guys who have been the top 10 NHL draft picks, you know, won the Stanley Cup. Like, I know how hard they work. I've seen the guys even, like, at the university level, you know, all across Europe. Like, I know how hard it is to perform at these different levels. So in terms of, like, performance, I always keep my mouth shut on that thing, right? But however, like I said, if a stranger on the internet is going to come at me, I'm going to do the same. So I basically just said to his response of course, I'm only worried about food. I was just like, man, to be fair, like, you should be more worried. Just all your elite prospects, you should be more worried about your gameplay, if I'm being honest. And like that, the other thing too, is like, you're coming into my backyard. So like,
yeah,
you know, everybody loved that. Like, everybody loved that more so than like your insult to me. Like, so. Well,
and so the same thing kind of happened to me, right? Was I having my friends on here. I'm having the people I think are the good people in the game. And I have on one of my buddies, and then someone writes in my comments like that everybody can see if they want to look like that they wrote this. And it was that he always seemed like a bit of a this or that, and the team he's on now are like, or we're lucky that they have him because he seemed like whatever. And I wrote back and I said, I'm having my friends on it, and if you want to write something like that, don't write anything, because I'm just having my friends on and nobody deserves that. Why are you writing that about a guy that came to my shed voluntarily for free to have fun, and now you're going to write something like that? It makes no sense. Be nicer, people, you know?
Yeah, it's I could go on for hours about this, but I will say so. But one of those replies, somebody like chirped me back, and to get to your question, he said like, he was like, at least he has like an elite prospects, right? And like, to be fair, I played hockey enough to get like an elite prospects profile. However, like, because there's players on there who play like high school hockey and stuff like that, right? But like, I played high school hockey from 2012 to like 2015, so it wasn't as popular, like the stat, also in like small town Newfoundland, right? So it's like, it wasn't as popular. The league now, like, if you play in that league now, like, you do get like, like, I've seen like the elite prospect profiles for it, so it doesn't bother me. But I'm just like, man, like, how funny would it be to just like, in terms of like the storyline, like, create like a full like documentary, like, I'm talking like almost like a 12-month production of like actually just getting back into goaltending and everything like that, and getting somebody to give me a 5-minute, I don't care if it's preseason, just get me a box score for a pro league, and get me the time on ice that, like, I said 5 minutes, I'll scale that down to a minute. Like, get me the time on ice that gets me the elite prospects page and classifies me as a pro hockey player and like checks off that childhood dream for me. Whatever team does that, they will be my favorite team.
Yep. it makes sense. And that's how you can end up on people's team, is when they have your back and help you out. That is how you end up on people's team. Right. And that would be a very neat experience if you got to do that. And it is interesting, the platform you've made for yourself is, you know, why can't you do that?
Well, hey, you know what, seeing as we're on the topic of the storm and everything like that, Manchester, if you're listening, I'm right. Cheap, you don't have to give me much, and I'm literally talking about a minute,
just pay in chocolate, right?
Yeah, just give me enough time to get the box score when you're up 20-0, or I mean, and to be fair, if you want to throw me in for a full game in the finals and it's game 7, by all means, too. I wouldn't, as far as a coaching decision, I think you might be wrong in doing that. But if you want to, whatever you'll give me, I'll take. And yeah, we'll make a really fun video with it. And I can live out that dream of, you know, being a pro hockey player and just having.
And it'd probably get a few views.
I do think it would do pretty well. I think it's a great story there. And like I said too, I also said like, I'm committed to like literally doing like whatever they need. Okay, they need me at like the, like, this weight, this skill set, like bare minimum kind of thing. They need me to, you know, train, get on the ice with him, pass physical, like whatever. like genuinely, like I will do whatever it takes to make the video happen. So balls in whoever's court that wants to do this.
Yeah, somebody should do it, right? Fun is fun.
I don't know. Your facial expressions are like, what have I just given this guy the opportunity to put it out into the world?
I think everybody should chase their dreams and everybody should reach for it. And if you don't believe it can happen, then it can't happen. And I think it's a great idea. You know,
that's true. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, like I said,
I still can't believe somebody chirped you about liking food, because I love food and I talk about it all the time on here.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, right? Like there's this whole thing with, and I've seen it too, with like dropping the weight and everything like that. There's just so much of a, if you are a bigger person on the internet, you do have a, and I guess this is anybody who's, you know, interested in it. You have a, what's the best way to kind of describe it? Like your tolerance for like that hate window is definitely like, the comments that you'll attract as a bigger person on the internet eating stadium food versus somebody who looks like more of that, say like traditional societal, like, okay, like a fit person, you're definitely bound to just, you know, really feed it with like more negative comments. Right. And that's honestly, like there's no sugarcoating it. Like that's basically like what it is, right? Like, because the thing is too is like, again, when I was like at my lowest, and like I said, like right now, like from my highest to my lowest, like I'm probably kind of like a little bit like in between the middle and the highest. Like I have like I said, gained a little bit of that weight back, but the difference between being at the lowest and like the doing the exact same thing, but the context of the comments that were being written in versus on the other hand of doing pretty much the exact same thing with the weight on, like it is night and day, right? So I mean, it's unfortunate that people feel the need to kind of do it.
Yeah, I was like a yo-yo too, even when I was a pro hockey player. And when I look back on it, I was always in the best shape when I was happiest. And when I was injured, when the team's shit, those were the times I would gain weight, because it was like it was like going through a little depression and you don't even realize what's going on, but it can change your body weight. But
you know, I mean, there's so much that goes into it. And you know, like I said, I am pretty fortunate to have friends who are, you know, the pro athletes, and they understand this stuff. And, you know, I get a lot of, you know, educational advice from them, and we have like good conversations about it, you know? And yeah, like, to be honest, like I still am trying to drop weight. I mean, I always want to, like, I'm competitive in nature anyway. Like it's funny though. Like
you don't look out of shape to me at all, man. Serious.
I mean, no, I definitely am.
Well, you're not a pro hockey player yet, right? It's like, for me, it's like, well, nobody pays me to work out anymore, so I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. 2 years ago, I finished a half marathon, and I was getting ready this time last year to run a full marathon in LA. And I literally, 3 days into my training, I snapped my ankle and just derailed my training for the marathon. And to be fair, when I say snapped, like I didn't break the ankle. I just gave myself like a high ankle sprain or whatnot.
Those can hurt.
In a 16-week training program, when you eliminate like the first 8 weeks of that window, like it's marathon. One thing that I kind of realized while training for this is like a half marathon, you can fake. Like you can kind of wake up one day and do it. Marathon, it definitely requires more preparation. And I'm not going to say
I have no interest in that at all. I would never do it. Wouldn't even dream of it.
I still got to do it. I want to get to a marathon before I'm 30 is kind of my benchmark here now. So,
well, good luck with that. I will not be participating. What is the favorite video you've ever made?
I mean, it hasn't changed. I mean, every video is still great. And, you know, I'm excited for each one, because I can see the improvement from week to week. But I mean, that one with my grandfather, I mean, still will always, you know, hold true, right? I don't think there's ever going to be anything that really surpasses that.
I understand, and it's like I had my grandma on the podcast episode 19, and that's a memory we'll have for life. And it's where you come from, right? You were in Sweden for the World Juniors, so you saw Team Germany. Were you at the gold medal game? Did you see the whole deal?
No. So obviously, like whenever I do these trips and stuff like that, I just look at like, okay, what's the, where can I get kind of say your most bang for your buck kind of thing, right? So how many videos can I do? And so Luleå, the schedule that they had proposed to me, and we went back and forth on, I was just like, okay, like this is obviously going to be an expensive trip, but at least the World Juniors are in Sweden this year. So I can go catch opening day and then boom, book it up to the northern part of the country and get to see them play. So I was,
it's not
there
those
for
twins that run Luleå, is it? It's not the Abbott twins.
No, I don't believe so. That, like, that's not ringing a bell for me, but
because they've been running one of the teams, one's the coach and one's the GM, and they're the punks that beat me for the Sutherland Cup my last year at junior in my hometown, and still pisses me off. And then they went ahead and had way better pro careers than me too. Bunch of punks.
No, that name didn't ring a bell, but like they've got a real cool organization up there, I must say. Like it is like a Swedish NHL kind of thing, right? Like it's pretty impressive. And I got to, you know, chat with a few Olympians that week and everything like that, and really getting to pick their brain was something special for sure. Because the other thing too is like the men were great. I got to catch two of their games. It's just how the schedule worked out. But honestly, the real treat was getting to see their women play on the like the Thursday or whatever it was. They've won like six of the last eight of the potential like league championships. Like they're like undefeated pretty much. Like they're outscoring people like 5-0. Like the whole roster is just filled with Olympians. And what's really cool is I got to meet Sweden's flag bearer for the closing ceremonies there, Emma, one of their forwards. And she asked me where I was from, and I in Canada. I was like, oh, Newfoundland. She's like, oh, I played in Newfoundland. And I was like, what? And then, like, anyways, she was like, yeah. And she couldn't remember what it was. And I was like, wait, like, did you play in the Four Nations Cup? So, like, back in, like, 2010, St. John's and Clarenville, they co-hosted this tournament. So it was Canada, Finland, Sweden, and the U.S. For the Four Nations Cup. And two of the games were played in Clarenville, my hometown. And sure enough, their captain, Jenny Hirkowski, who is also the women's Finnish captain, and Emma Nordin, like I said, the Sweden flag bearer there at the last Olympics and whatnot, they both played in that tournament that I went to when I was in middle school. So like me and all my
small
buddies went
world, eh?
It was so cool. And like, to be fair too, like that was such a special moment because I actually, you know, I got to talk to Emma and kind of tell her like what kind of an impact that had on my hometown. Cause like Clarenville, Newfoundland, like, you know, again, small place where you're growing up, right? Like it's not every day that you get an opportunity to just go to the rink that I play in all the time as a minor hockey kid
and see countries play each other.
Olympians. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
I still remember, and talking about the women's game, I could go on for ages because I coached girls last year and I loved it. And it's amazing to see the potential in the game. But I went to Kitchener, right by Elmira, Ontario. They hosted the World Championships for women when I was like in high school or so. And seeing the women play for the country, and it was a memory for me too to have that near my hometown.
Well, and like Jenny Hirkowski too on like the Finnish side, and she plays for Luleå as well. Like as soon as she retires from like the game of hockey, she's going into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Like I listed her accolades in the video that we did, and I'm blanking on it now, but it's just like literally go look at the resume, and it's like for the last like 20 years, just one of the most dominant players in hockey.
Yeah, I'm the women's game is, it's a cool thing to see the growth right now, especially now they have the pro league over here, and it's like, well, if Sweden's not really paying those gals to play, like at least now there's an option. And if the European leagues could keep growing where actually women start getting paid to play, it would be amazing to see it all grow. Because it is a great game, the gals game.
No, 100%. And the thing is too is, you know, I'm not 100% sure on salaries for each of the leagues and everything like that. But it's like anything too, right? Like with more competition, like it brings everything up, right? Because yeah, like the PWHL has been a huge success to start the year off, right? And so obviously that's going to, you know, entice a lot of the you know, international names to start looking at North America as the place to play hockey now. And by virtue, if, you know, those leagues over in Europe want to compete with that, they're going to have to get competitive, right? So competitive with the parameters of, you know, all the offerings, right? Like the benefit. I think I was listening to an interview the other day with, I think it was one of the PWHL Toronto players, and they were saying that they have like dental care and like health care, like all those different things now too, right? So
that's awesome.
Like to get the
get the ball rolling.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right?
Making it more professional, and the girls deserve it. It's exciting stuff. But man, you know, it's busy life. I don't have that much longer again today, you know. I don't know if we've gotten through everything, but one of my questions I have written down here is, you've been to a bunch of barns around the world now. What is your favorite arena in the world?
I mean, to be fair, it's still the Boca Juniors Club in Argentina. Like that one's still the soccer club there, man. Like it's still just so incredible. Like that one's going to be like really, really tough to knock off as number one. I mean, that atmosphere was just absolutely incredible.
This was a soccer stadium?
Yeah. The Boca Juniors Club. We watched them win the league in Buenos Aires last year, 2 years ago, 2 years ago, something like that.
What about hockey rink?
I mean, I gotta be honest, like a lot of hockey rinks, they tend to always relatively be around the same, in my opinion. Like it's not too much that's that really like sticks
out. Yeah.
Yeah, like I mean, there's cool different things. Like in Luleå, they had a sponsorship deal where if somebody scores, the goal scorer, like an arm propels down from the ceiling, and it has a little gift bag for the first goal scorer. So they get to take that and keep it as a little gift. That's a sponsorship deal that they have. So like that stuff's cool. You know, Strava, nice facility on the outside, like with their decorated like walls and stuff like that, like the design of the building.
I played in Strasbourg. I don't recall it being nice.
No, Straubing.
Oh, Straubing. Yeah, sorry. They've dolled up an old barn there and did a bunch of renovations. That was right back when I was getting there, and they were moving up to the DL. Yeah, those guys have fun in Straubing. Seems like they got a good culture with Lamps and the fellas.
Yeah. And I mean, the Bell Center, like whenever the Canadians win in the Bell Center, like there really isn't much that beats that, to be fair. I'm actually, funny enough, in the last 2 years, I'm like 3-0 in the Bell Center now. So, which is rare. So I'll take that.
I'll never see an atmosphere like I saw in Munich, Germany, when I was playing for Bietigheim and we're playing Munich in the finals, and we're in the Olympic Stadium, the Olympic Arena. And the man, half the crowd of our fans were topless, you know, banging on drums, jumping up and down. And it was the rowdiest arena I've ever been in. And then when we won the championship, I've never seen anything like it, and I never will again.
Yeah, like I really don't know to give you an answer, because like even I'm thinking back now, like Pilsen was great. Like Pilsen, a lot of history there in the Czech league. Michalovce in Slovakia, like that rink was really cool. They had some interesting things. I mean, yeah, like even as a – what was cool about in Slovakia there in Michalovce is instead of – like they have obviously like pin door – like security passes and stuff like that, right, and checkpoints like in terms of certain things. And so, but instead of like a manual pin that you would just put in, Literally while I was there, they just, it's all like fingerprint scan. So they just scanned my fingerprint and, I was able to maneuver through the stadium. And then they just, when I finished, they just delete my fingerprint from the system, as opposed to having to change the PIN and let everybody know what the new PIN is and everything
That's
like that. Right. So
interesting.
yeah.
Well, I think, because I got stuff to do again in this busy world of ours. But I think you should keep doing exactly what you're doing. You're creating really cool content in the hockey world and things that people haven't done before and haven't seen before. And when I know you're sending the one out about Manchester, and I get to see the Chocolate Storm on a video that's going to get watched who knows how many times. I think in between our first and second period here, I looked again and it was well over 3,000 views already. It hasn't even been 24 hours. It's wild. And then people are going to hear about the Chocolate Storm, and I think it's so neat what you're doing, getting fun hockey stories out there in the world, kind of like what I'm trying to do in the shed, you know?
No, I appreciate it a lot. I mean, yeah, it's really just keep doing things bigger and better kind of thing. And then who knows? Like I said, there's some, I can't really talk about it now, but there's some really, really cool stuff that is just like currently in the works that'll, you know, if it comes to fruition, we're kind of talking anywhere from like 4 or 5, 6, 12 months potentially, but even longer than that. But if I can make it happen, like it's going to be really, really cool. So hopefully people keep watching, they keep,
Oh, they
being
will.
interested. And so
Well, keep doing what you're doing. It's a great thing. And I better get on with cooking dinner and picking kids up. And this has been another episode of Two Ales and Hockey Tales with Greels and Wally.
two ales and hockey tales with Wally. For the fans, to the players, living their hockey dream. Two ales and hockey tales with Wally. Kim Carden, Sendriewski, and everywhere in between. Remember, kids, when it is fun, two ales and hockey tales with Wally. Two ales and hockey tales with Wally. Two ales and hockey tales with Wally. Some chocolate, please.